My name's Scott. I'm a believer in Christ who is an adult child of an alcoholic and a codependent. Hey, Scott. I honestly never thought I'd do this because one of my biggest issues is I was sexually molested as a child. And while I was being sexually molested, there's a lot of psychological abuse. And the person said if I ever spoke about it as a child, I'd be ostracized, I'd go to the police. They just, you know, tortured me psychologically. So this is actually a victory, me doing this. My father died when I was 2 years old. My mother was young and was hurting and depressed after my father died. She's about 27. She went to church for help and was told to get over it. She received life insurance and invested the money with a stockbroker. Then he stole from her. Basically, my family fell apart. Unfortunately, there are people that take advantage of people when they are hurting. There were a lot of dysfunctional and alcoholic behaviors going on in my family. I never realized it growing up. Alcohol and other behaviors were normalized in my house. I always knew my mother loved me, but she didn't have the resources to properly care for me. When my mother talked to me later in life, when I was an adult, it brought some clarity. My mother told me I was a bad child because when I was 2, the police brought me home because I was wandering in the streets. My mother would give me a small beer when I was 3, 4, 5 years old, so I'd fall asleep and take a nap. They were good people, but alcoholism was normalized. Alcohol was always around at my house, and it was normal to have a drink every day. My grandfather told me he was concerned about my father, who died, whom I never knew, and people never talked about it. Then he said, but one day he drank a lot, so he's okay. To be in my family, you had to drink a lot. My grandparents moved in when I was probably about 7 years old. Not sure of the reason, but there wasn't enough room. At first, I think it may have helped. I remember my grandmother would be nice to me. When I was around 8 years old, my grandmother got meningitis and almost died. She had to learn to walk again and need to be cared for every day. She became bitter and angry. And I was told I was a bad kid by her all the time. But my mother always stuck up for me and praised me. It was a crazy environment to grow up in. Since there wasn't enough room, I slept in the basement. It wasn't heated, and had a wood fireplace. This was in New Hampshire. I'd make a fire before I go to sleep in the winter, and it was great. The only problem is when I woke up, I could see my breath from the cold. Looking back, some things seemed incomprehensible to me. I went to my first day of kindergarten by myself. I remember the teachers putting a name tag around me and calling for my parents. It seemed like eternity. I was so embarrassed. Finally, they asked me. I told them I went to school by myself. I just followed the other kids to school. I had priests, bishops, and nuns in my Catholic dysfunctional family. My grandmother's sister was a nun. She told me that the convent prayed for me every day. I felt like their prayers helped me immensely, really kept me alive through my teenage year. She was a good person who devoted her whole life to God. I knew some of the best people are Catholic and some of the worst. Sexual abuse of boys by the church was running rampant at this time. On Good Friday that year at 3 p.m. after we did the Stations of the Cross, I was reaching out to God. I asked God to show me a sign if he was real. And a bolt of lightning and thunder happened at that very moment. I felt his presence come over me. I've believed in God ever since. I would go to church even though my mother wouldn't. I've gone to church and believed in God ever since that moment. God has always been with me. Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall make your path straight. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I was never given any money by my mother as a child, so I asked if I could get a paper route. I was told I was too young, but 2 brothers wanted to quit their route after Christmas tips. The route was on my street, and they allowed me to deliver papers. I began working and never stopped for 50 years. It helped me stay busy and out of trouble. It provided structure and gave me financial security, but I also became a workaholic. I am glad I focused my pain on something good that I could benefit from. Sports and working kept me out of trouble. About around 8 years old, my mother got a new boyfriend. He was brought over by my uncle. This guy was great. He paid attention to me. I had my first birthday dinner, bowling, sports. He'd take me out to breakfast every Saturday. finally, I felt someone really cared about me. He'd go to Mass on Sunday, volunteer to teach and help with the kids. Everybody thought he was such a great guy. Unfortunately, he was just grooming me. After he got my trust, he abused me. He would take me out for Saturday breakfast, then he sexually abused me, and he changed my life forever. He told me if anybody found out about this, I'd be ostracized, that people would abandon me and I'd be arrested. I was a small child that was petrified. I'd become frozen during the abuse and didn't recall it for over 20 years. The mind can freeze, meaning not taking in what's happening, sometimes by focusing on some non-threatening detail. I focused on a clock, so I couldn't feel or remember what was happening to me. I disassociated from the abuse that was happening. My life was changed forever. God is good and hates evil. I know he was angry, but he was compassionate with me, took away the memories until I could handle them. But I had many side effects from the trauma. I began isolating even more. I was nervous, easily startled, and didn't really know what was going on. The trauma was so great I blocked it out, but the damage was done. I was broken. I was so filled with shame and fear that someone would find out. It was extremely confusing. I couldn't remember the actual abuse, but I knew something was wrong, and I would get startled extremely easily. I started acting out verbally towards abuser in public. The person who abused me was just like a cockroach. I started to indirectly call him out on the abuse. The light was turned on and he ran away. The person who terrorized me physically and psychologically abused me was gone quickly after that. I kept working, playing sports, and stayed out of trouble. I was a good kid, and fortunately, school came easy for me. My life was pretty good on the outside, but I was insecure and hurt on the inside. I tried to hide this by achieving and working. I worked the whole time at various jobs until I left at 18. Had a brand new car and all the money I needed. I was surviving from the abuse. I played sports, had friends and work, but I was also extremely lonely. I was lost in many ways. I couldn't feel, but I was extremely determined in getting a good job and being successful. I went to college for one quarter, then I joined the Navy. The Navy provided a structure that I never had before and provided opportunities for success. If I worked hard, I could also take college courses, and I just about finished my bachelor's in 4 years. I got out of the Navy after 4 years. I went to live back at home. I was helping my mother take in the groceries, and there was a case of 12 half-gallon bottles of whiskey. I asked if we were having a party. My mother told me it was for a week. There were only 4 people in the house, and I didn't drink. I brought up that was way too much alcohol for 3 people. I was attacked and ostracized by my family. I was a bad person. How could I bring this up? I learned that you don't bring up issues, especially about alcohol, in my family. It was a sick culture. Subsequently moved to California, got married. I found someone I could try to fix. It was a very dysfunctional marriage. She had an eating disorder, and I needed someone to focus on besides myself. We were both hurting, and both of us had lost our fathers at a young age. I was a great employee and a wreck at home. My wife got pregnant. This just increased our stress. Our marriage was falling apart. I wasn't a very good husband. We got into therapy. I really enjoyed therapy. I was learning so much. I learned that I was codependent and an adult child of an alcoholic. My therapist had me go to ACOA meeting, Dutch Children of Alcoholics. This is when I started learning about myself and my family. The laundry list of ACA really spoke to me. The 14 traits, I had 13 of the 14. 1, became isolated, afraid of people and authority figures. 2, became approval seekers and lost identity in the process. 3, we are frightened by angry people and any personal criticism. 4, we either become alcoholics, marry them or both, or find another compulsive personality such as a workaholic to fulfill our sick abandonment needs. 5, we live from a viewpoint of victims and we're attracted by that weakness in our love and our friendship relationships. 6, we have an overdeveloped sense of responsibility. It's easier for us to be concerned with others rather than ourselves. This enables us not to look too closely at our own faults. 7, we get guilt feelings when we stand up for ourselves instead of giving in to others. 8, we became addicted to excitement. That's probably the only one that I didn't have. 9, we confuse love and pity and tend to love people we can pity and rescue. 10, we have stuffed our feelings from the traumatic childhoods and have lost the ability to feel or express our feelings because it hurts so much. Denial. 11, we judge ourselves harshly and have a very low sense of self-esteem. 12, we are dependent personalities who are terrified of abandonment and will do anything to hold onto a relationship in order not to experience the painful abandonment feelings, which we receive from living with sick people who are never there emotionally for us. 13, alcoholism is a family disease and we become para-alcoholics and took on the characteristics of that disease even though we never picked up a drink. 14, para-alcoholics are reactors rather than actors. When I heard the laundry list, I had a feeling of euphoria. I remember driving down the road in Laguna Beach feeling like I was floating. I was so relieved. I was not alone. There were other people like me. I felt like I belonged, that I wasn't crazy, and that I was on the road to recovery. I was in therapy and working the steps. I was doing very well. I was healthier than I've ever been. Then I started having memories and flashbacks from the sexual abuse. There were not any support groups for men, so I went to a group that were mainly women. Fortunately, I received excellent care, took some time for myself, was able to deal with the symptoms. The flashback stopped, and I had a lot of growth. I learned to feel, remember, and address the abuse that was still inside me. My mother was shocked about the abuse, apologized, and paid for my original treatment. That meant a lot to me. I may be scarred for life from the wounds and the pains from my childhood, but I grow a little each day and try to help other people. Genesis 50:20, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. When we go to CR, we are saving our own lives and many times families. We are also saving other lives because we can't do it alone. Whether it's a quick death of drugs, the death of families because of sexual addiction, eating disorders, codependency, family dysfunction. When I go to CR, I not only help myself, but others just by coming. I was angry because of the memories. I couldn't understand how someone could hurt such a young child whose father had died and family was falling apart. Therapy helped me a lot. I'm currently in a men's healing group. It began approximately 10 years after my original recovery. They published some myths about victimization. Boys are as vulnerable to sexual victimization as girls. The current understanding is that 1 in 4 girls and 1 in 6 boys experience sexual victimization before the age of 18. It's not true that a boy or man who's been sexually victimized will become a sex offender or gay. It's saying like a woman who's raped become a rapist. It makes no sense. Most men will not share anything because of the stigma. But as the movie Spotlight points out, which is a true story concerning the Catholic Church, where I grew up, concerning the rampant sexual abuse of boys, secrecy is what evil wants. I am confident God will provide the appropriate justice to the person who violated me. Matthew 18:6, but if anyone abuses one of these little ones who believes in me, it'd be better for him to have a heavy boulder tied around his neck and hurled into the deepest sea than to face the punishment he deserves. My life was going on, but I was in a very difficult place. But Christ was with me. Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean on all in your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall make your path straight. My wife at the time and I were growing further apart. She was working on herself, but we had a terrible marriage built on dysfunction. My main concern was my 2 kids. I felt like my wife was cheating on me, but she insisted she wasn't. I was praying to God, was asking for guidance, and then a love letter she wrote to another man was returned to the mailbox. I opened it, read it. Our marriage is over. I felt a great sense of relief, and we got divorced. I was moving to Los Angeles by myself with 2 small children. I remember driving up the freeway and feeling God's presence, knowing that everything was going to be all right. I had a stressful job. As a single parent with full custody, it was challenging and lonely. I joined a single parent supports group, but I was the only man in the group. I was going to church in 12-step groups. I had friends that supported me, but it was difficult. But I really felt close to God at this time. After being a single parent for a couple years, I started dating again. I was looking for a Christian woman when I met my current wife. My kids were happy. She was a good stepmom, helping and doing so much. It has been difficult dealing with a blended family. We had some nasty fights, serious arguments and disagreements. I believe marriage is hard enough on its own, and when you add more complexities, it makes it even harder. We did join a blended family group back then and have worked on our marriage and our family ever since. We try to read Tim Keller's marriage devotional and pray every day, but marriage can still be challenging at times. During COVID, my oldest daughter canceled me. This has been a hard hurt for me to deal with. I was looking for a 12-step group and started going to a CR Zoom meeting. I felt like God put me where I needed to be. There was another person in the group who was canceled also. It was very helpful to me. I have done step studies in the past and found them very beneficial. I decided to do another step study and ended up doing two of them. CR step studies really helped me grow some more. It's so important that CR is Christ-centered. I feel like there's a hole in me that can only be filled like by Jesus. Other people can't fill it. Food can't fill it. Alcohol can't fill it. And work can't fill it. All will fail to fill me. The only thing that can fill me is the love of Christ Jesus. The only thing that brings permanent happiness, makes me better, is Jesus Christ, my Lord. I can eat too much. It makes me sick and fat. I can drink too much. It makes me drunk and sick. I can work too much. It burns me out and makes me bitter. Only Christ can save me. Philippians 4:19. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. In my weakness, I am strong. My God is faithful and true. In all my struggles, Christ has been there holding my hand. When I was abused, he was sad and angry. I have to let go of my anger, Romans 12:19. Beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Although I don't do it perfectly, I trust the Lord will do what is right. In my codependency, God showed me my weakness. In my alcoholic family, he taught me a different way to live by working and playing sports. Christ has always been with me. Whenever I do something well, it's because of Christ my Savior. Whenever I slip or fall, it's because I've taken my eyes off Christ. I'm a broken person with plenty of faults. I was just doing a step study a few weeks ago, and it asked when was the last time I lost my temper. I couldn't remember the last time I lost my temper. Then I lost my temper the following weekend. I'll always be broken. I'll always have faults, but the Holy Spirit is with me. C.S. Lewis once wrote, imagine yourself as a living room. God comes in to rebuild that house. At first, perhaps you can understand what he's doing. He's getting the drains right and stopping the leaks in the roof and so on. You knew these jobs needed doing, and so you're not surprised. But presently, he starts knocking the house about in ways that hurts abominably and does not seem to make sense. What on earth is he up to? The explanation is that he's building a quite different house from the one you thought of throwing out. A new wing here, putting an extra floor there, running up towers, making courtyards. You thought you were going to be made into a decent little cottage, but he's building a palace he tends to come and live in himself. For me, CR can be like this sometimes. Sometimes I don't understand what God is doing. When I look back, it makes sense. I am broken as God is perfect. I'm sort of viewing my life as flying an airplane. My pre-flight checklist in the morning, I pray, read the Bible, read devotionals, share CR devotional, and pray with my wife. My day, when a plane's flying to a destination, it's almost always technically off course and needs to make minor corrections constantly. I am a sinner off course who always needs God's help. I realize when I will slip, but I don't have to fall. I also realize I will have turbulence and will have to avoid storms, but I don't have to be the one creating them. My destination is heaven. I need to make sure Jesus is my navigator to help me through the storms that I need to go through to grow and keep me away from the storms that I can't handle. My landing checklist, review the day and finish with prayer. What did I do right? What did I do wrong? Where can I improve? Celebrate Recovery is a great program if I use it. Support from sponsors, accountability partners, and other people in the program. CR step studies have helped provide guidance and growth. CR worships helps me put my focus on Christ. The weekly meetings are important to provide consistency and structure for me. People are real in CR, unlike most church people I've encountered. where I can share honestly, safely, and get support. Everyone is broken. Unfortunately, most people outside of CR are too scared or in too much denial to realize it. Here we get over the denial when we do the first step. I need to do the 12th step, which I do by co-leading a step study, a small group, and get involved with the prison ministry. I believe CR is a fantastic program if I work it. I know firsthand that healing from sexual victimization, codependency, growing up in a dysfunctional family, is a journey that no one should have to walk alone. If I did anything right, all the glory goes to God. The things I messed up, it's because of me. But Christ is always there to help me, guiding me along the way and keeping me on course. For it is you who light my lamp. The Lord God lightens my darkness. Psalms 18:28. I have massive pain with work and trying to fix people. I could have used many other methods to mask the pain, but the only way to get relief from the pain was to go through it. I had to recover from the horrible memories from my past with the help of a therapist. There was a book that my therapist had me read, The Body Keeps the Score, the trauma caused by childhood neglect, child sexual victimization, and growing up in an alcoholic family have created havoc in my body. I also had to learn a different way of living. Lessons we get every week transformed me. Celebrate Recovery and other 12-step groups are instrumental in my healing. CR brings me closer to Christ, helps me grow, and provides community. Genesis 50:20. What was done was evil, but God turned it to good. God has helped me so much and has been so good to me. There is so much good that has happened through CR in partnership with my Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks.